The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Rick Neuheisel on board today. Rick, of course, the former McClintock Charger who does great college football work with CBS, and he is also on Sirius XM. That will be coming up here with Rick Neuheisel at about 10:20. At 10:35, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things around the Pac-12, and there is a ton going on that we will get to here momentarily. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. I had a fabulous time. Family was all together. We had fun. We golfed some. Thanksgiving morning and golf go together for me. I cannot be one of those people that watches Bears and Lions. And people are like, why are the Bears and Lions on every Thanksgiving morning? I don't know. It's in Detroit. Ford is in Detroit. Ford is one of the biggest sponsors ever in the NFL. So guess what? You're going to get Lions on Thanksgiving morning. That's how it goes. Why do you get Cowboys every year? Because they're the number one draw on television. That's why. Why did we have the Bills? Because they're in the New York television market. But the Saints aren't good. Doesn't matter. It's still the Saints. And you can put Drew Brees in there and give him a tryout. There you are. There's your Thanksgiving night and the reasons why. The Cardinals had the weekend off. Cliff Kingsbury is going to talk in about 25 minutes. And he's going to be asked, so Cliff, about these reports that Oklahoma is looking at you as the leading candidate to replace Lincoln Riley. And Cliff will say, I don't know anything about that. I am here and I am coaching the Arizona Cardinals. We are getting ready for our massive showdown with the Chicago Bears in our stretch run. But Cliff, so these reports are by Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter is not wrong. Well, I haven't talked to anybody. So let me just explain how this works. Okay. This is the agent for Cliff Kingsbury doing what agents do. Cliff hasn't talked to anybody except his agent. And Cliff is in, he's got one more year after this with his contract with the Cardinals. And this is business. This is business. This is an agent doing what agents are supposed to do, which is get a guy's name out there when he's in the, he's having a great run, which Cliff is. Forget about the fact that last year he wasn't, and the year before there was even questions about whether he could coach in the league, okay? And that's all true. It's not me picking on him. It's just that's a fact. So now he's having a great season, and the agent's going to float it out there. When Adam Schefter is breaking coaching news around Cliff Kingsbury, do you think it's Cliff Kingsbury calling? You think it's like Michael Bidwell calling Adam Schefter? No, it's the agent for Cliff Kingsbury. That's how this works, always. And so Cliff's being truthful. I haven't talked to anybody. No, but your agent has. So if somebody says, have your agents, well, no, my agents haven't, because you can always have representatives. Representatives. Again, trying to get through the navigation of it all. Cliff's going to get a big deal out of this. If the Cardinals don't get to the promised land of a Super Bowl after this big start to a season, then Cliff Kingsbury is going to feel some heat from Michael. That's how it works. It's just how it goes here in Arizona. Do I believe that Cliff Kingsbury would leave the Arizona Cardinals for a college job? No. Do I think he would love to go sit in 20-year-old, 19-year-old, 18-year-old's rooms and visit with mom and dad? I bring up 20-year-olds because nowadays with the transfer portal, you've got to do that. It's not just high school seniors anymore. Do I think he wants to go have bad coffee cake and get in rental cars and go into the middle of nowhere to beg Johnny to come play football for him at Oklahoma when he can just get the decimal point moved down and live in his slip crib that he showed last year, 2 years ago at the NFL draft? So this is all highly amusing. Makes for great conversation. You know, it's fine for us. It gets websites, click counts up, but it's not true. If Cliff Kingsbury leaves the Cardinals to go take Oklahoma, that would be something I've never seen in my life. This just strikes me as an agent trying to stir it up and get his guy. It's one thing if you're Nick Saban and you go over to the Miami Dolphins and it doesn't work out and you go to Alabama. You know, Cliff's in a great run here, but he may look at the tea leaves and you don't know the pressure that he feels behind the scenes with this organization. Other coaches have told me that's how it works with the Cardinals. So I'm somewhat amused by that. Friday night, I decided to watch the Suns, and I did the same Saturday night. I don't know about you, I am completely captivated by what is going on with the Suns. And I know everybody's focused on the college football scene, and I'll get to that shortly. We've got a couple cool guests coming up. But do you realize they've won 16 in a row? And yeah, there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA, but when they're playing, the Knicks aren't bad. That was a good game the other night. The Suns blew them out. And then they're in a back-to-back, and they play Brooklyn. This is Harden and Durant. And the Suns basically went wire to wire against them. And so here we are on the eve of the number one team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, 20 games in. And the number two team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, and their amazing 16-game win streak. And there's more to it than just that. So Steph Curry, wherever Steph Curry goes, road games now, fans are showing up early to watch what he does before the game. They give him standing ovations at the end of the night when he gets taken off the floor in road games. And so tomorrow night, you've got Suns hosting Golden State. I will be there. Not just watching here, but I will be there in person because I want to see this show. And what an amazing run for the Suns that it's been. This all started, by the way, when the Robert Sarver news came out from ESPN. Have you heard a peep about that since this win streak started? And the answer would be very little to none. The investigations are going on. This is a godsend. When the Suns walk in to play in New York City and the tabloids are just sitting there waiting to say, so this scandal with your owner, and instead, so this 15-game win streak. Not going to end up talking about it. Same with Brooklyn. They got through New York without very little conversation, if any conversation, about what is going on off the floor with this team, because all the focus, and rightly so, all the focus should be on this team. For those that thought overpaying Mikal Bridges, and I didn't think it was an overpay, Mikal Bridges is one of the defensive players of the year, the way that he's playing. I watch him lock down guys every night. I see him come out and play with reckless abandon at both ends of the floor. And the way that the roster has been constructed, where a guy like Cameron Johnson could come in and cause a lot of problems for teams. And JaVale McGee, if we're talking about a sixth man of the year as a big, early in the season. I get it. It's early in the season. Those of you that watch the news, you know, I usually don't care about November basketball. I usually don't. But when your team has won 16 in a row and the owner is under huge scrutinization, I've got to pay attention to this. And tomorrow night with Golden State in town, yeah, that is the sports story. It's not the Cardinals against the Bears this Sunday. It is Golden State and the Suns. It is. So very much looking forward to that. That'll be tomorrow night and just how they've played. All right, let's get into Lincoln Riley. So I'll actually go back to Saturday. So Saturday, I'm at the ASU game, and it was just awful. Anybody who thinks that was good football, oh, man, it was rough. And the U of A, where I was sitting, Zach Alvira was with me, and Zach's been writing for us some. He's also over at the East Valley Tribune. Zach's super talented. And I just leaned into him. I said, so this is about the point in the game where the U of A, because I've been watching them all season long, this is about the point in the game where they fumble a punt, they throw a pick, or something bad happens. And it was the play where Plummer gets strip sacked, and then ASU scores a touchdown. And basically, you know, it was a 14-9 game. U of A just could not find the end zone. They were the worst this season in Division I in getting into the end zone. And so, you know, the Sun Devils, they go on and they win the game. And it's a nice crowd. It's 2:00 in the afternoon. Crowd's there. And I have to have a little bit of grace on this. Some people are just doing their job. They don't care about the big picture. They don't. Some people, all they care about is ASU beating the U of A. That's it. It doesn't matter if U of A is one of the, if not the worst program in Division I football over the last 5 years. It doesn't matter. Like, they're historically bad. Right there with, like, New Mexico State. And yet there's some people that just are completely caught up in the, well, as long as we beat the U of A, it's a great season. And I've never understood that. I will never understand it. I will never understand how people can say, what a great season, when you beat only one team with a winning record. I won't. I guess my expectations are just too high. You know, I've already looked ahead to next season. They have Oklahoma State in preseason. Great, but they also have Eastern Michigan. Why? They have the NAU game. That's because the regions push that down their throats. They don't have Oregon again next year. They have to go to Pullman. And I look at Herm Edwards and the announcement that came through, I was one of the players that Ray told him in the locker room. And Ray can, you know, bring him back however he wants. Ray's got a little bit of, I am the smartest guy in the room. I wrote years ago, and Ray I trust when he hired Herm. I'm now doubting myself on that column. Because you go out and make the public pronouncement. That's our guy. This is our coach. And yeah, that's your hire and that's your business partner and all that stuff. But then less than 24 hours later, Lincoln Riley just drops into the Pac-12. In fact, he drops into your division, into the Pac-12 South. And so I was putting this out on Twitter yesterday and some people were getting really mad about it, but that's just the way it is. It's, hey, Mom. Lincoln Riley, Mario Cristobal, Herm Edwards are at the front door. Who should I let in first? Am I wrong? I mean, you just have to look at this and just say, your window to take the South, I'd even throw Kyle Whittingham in there because he may retire. We're going to talk to John Lillner about this in a bit. It's huge for the Pac-12. In a strange sort of way, the trickle-down will help ASU. Although it's very clear to me what ASU's recruiting strategy is. They're just going to go transfer portal. They have five, count them, five commitments today. That's it. Five. And letter of intent day is December 15th. You're going to go get 20 commitments? No, you're not. It's pretty clear that we're going to go heavy in the portal. And you know what? In fairness, they've had some success in the portal. Jaden Daniels has regressed. Anybody who says he hasn't is simply on the payroll at Arizona State or wants clicks on their website that's ASU content and they want everything to be happy and puffy clouds, and it's just not. It's not. Anybody who's watched them all season long can tell there's been a regression. Instead of hyping up these receivers that they brought in, stop the hype because it's not working. It's not. You don't need to do that. I like Jaden Daniels as a person, as a quarterback, as a college quarterback trying to get to the next level. He has regressed. I'm a Heisman voter. I have to vote today. I thought in August, like, you know what? I wonder if he'd even get a few votes, be a dark horse. Not happening. So Lincoln Riley will come into USC. We'll talk to Rick Neuheisel in a couple minutes about this. And he will be able to open the floodgates of recruits to look at a conference that is, in the last couple of years, a really bad television contract. There's no Pac-12 network that I know of that people can get other than me sitting here with Cox Cable. I'm in Corvallis last week, Oregon State, and they have the Pac-12 network in the hotel. So we talked about the lack of distribution. He's going to be able to overcome that. And so they're on the back end now, they being the Pac-12, of being able to convince people to come to their conference. But the window of opportunity for Arizona State to win the South, in my opinion, is closed. Well, you've been wrong before. Yeah, let's just see. Let's just see. He's going to come in there. It may take a year. I don't see next year where ASU should be favored in the Pac-12 South. Do you really believe that? All the players are that they're going to lose to the draft and maybe transfer portal and just trying to get them all to come together? So it's a very interesting time into what is going on over at Arizona State. And I didn't agree with bringing Herm back, but here's the only thing on it. If you know that you're going to get hit by the NCAA in some way, shape, or form, and you know that going out in the open market to bring in a coach and his first question is going to be, so about this NCAA thing, then, and if Herm still has the gumption, my thought process has been, with the NIL and the transfer portal and this investigation, that he may just say, you know what, I've had enough of this. And there are many people that believe the same thing in coaching circles around the country that I speak to. He didn't. Ray didn't. So here we are. And if you think that the window is wide open, God bless you. You're one of those fans that likes to go to the game and see them beat the U of A and end up going 43-35 since 2015 and go to a bunch of mediocre bowl games. So that's where we are. Rick Neuheisel is next, Sirius XM, CBS Sports. I'm going to talk to him, too, about Alabama and Georgia this week on a national stage, get his view on Lincoln Riley and Arizona State's program, and then John Wilner, the Wilner Hotline on all the college football news. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, with everything going on, ASU going to keep Herm Edwards, and then Lincoln Riley comes in. We had to track down Rick Neuheisel with SiriusXM. He's about ready to jump on board, and CBS Sports, of course, with the SEC. And let's just get right into this, Rick. When you heard the news of Lincoln Riley to USC, what was your reaction?
Brilliant move for Lincoln Riley. Brilliant. Listen, Oklahoma has been a stalwart in the Big 12. There will be growing pains when they head to the SEC. Not sure what the format will be, if they'll be in pods, four team groups, which might look much like the Big 12 if Arkansas and Missouri go along with Texas and Oklahoma as part of that pod. But you're going to have a harder time achieving what you've achieved at Oklahoma in that format. Going to Southern California and taking over a program that's been down based on their own expectations and having the competition that exists in the Pac-12, I think, is a much more realistic opportunity to go to the head of the class in short order. So I think it's brilliant. I think SC fans are desperate. And I know this, George Kliavkov, the commissioner of the Pac-12, has to be giddy, because this will end up upping the price for the new television deal.
Rick, it's got to be somewhere behind the scenes. Kliavkov had to be aware, involved, helped somewhere, because I'm with you on this. This for the Pac-12 is beyond seismic. It's woken up a conference that's been asleep at the switch with an awful television deal and just not having high-end coaches. This is huge for him.
This is huge for him because he has to have USC strong.
Yeah.
USC's been kind of moribund here of the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years since Pete Carroll left. And it has to get back to full function, full strength, if the Pac-12 is going to realize its full strength as well.
Rick Neuheisel with us for a couple of minutes on SiriusXM. Right around the corner, he'll be doing his show. And, of course, you see him on CBS College Football. Herm Edwards is 43, or actually Arizona State is 43-35 since 2015. They beat the Wildcats once again for the fifth time in a row, arguably the worst program in America right now. Rick, what is it from a distance that you see? I know you're focused in on the SEC, but you have your ties here. What do you see that's going on at Arizona State? Because it's the same old story year after year. And now with Lincoln Riley on board, I don't see where Herm goes here.
Well, first of all, I think you have to congratulate Herm on an 8-win season when there were so many dark clouds hovering over the program to start the year with the NCAA investigation, or at least news of an NCAA investigation looming. For the kids to come out and win 8 games, I think says a great deal about Herm's hand on the wheel and its steady influence. To do it without 3 coaches that were suspended for the season, I think is an amazing feat. And we get the word now that Herm's going to stay, which I think is a steadying piece of news. And now it's just about how can we get this ominous cloud out from behind us, because Arizona State has everything you need. It's a fun place to go to school. It's Herm Edwards resonates with moms and dads and living rooms. And I think they've also kind of happened on to this transfer portal. And I think for kids who are looking to go someplace, where's better than Tempe, Arizona, and playing for Herm Edwards?
So even with Lincoln Riley coming on board and Kyle Whittingham up and running at Utah, you think he can be at the top of the heap in this in the West, Rick?
Or I do. I think Arizona State has that kind of appeal to the different arenas that you're pulling from, both transfers, graduate students, and also high school kids.
Okay, quickly, Georgia, Alabama this week. What do you see?
Well, it's a matchup of strength on strength. Alabama's offense, you know, with kind of slumbering much of the Iron Bowl, came to life and was brilliant down the stretch, ended up winning the Iron Bowl. That offense going against what's been the best defense in the country. How does that matchup fare? And can Alabama, protect is the biggest issue for that side of the ball. And then defensively, I thought Alabama's defense is coming around. Stetson Bennett is going to have to play like the star player that they say he is. I still have to see it to believe it. But if Bennett turns it over as he did last year when the two teams played, he had three interceptions, then Alabama can be in this game.
Love hearing you on Full Ride with Chris. Do your thing. Thanks for the time.
You bet, Brad. Take care. Happy holidays, buddy.
You as well. There's Rick Neuheisel with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, time now, as promised, and I've been waiting for this reaction of John Wilner when he heard the news. Where were you when you heard the news of Lincoln Riley and USC, and what was your reaction, John?
Well, I was taking my son to a soccer workout, to be honest, and it wasn't that much of a surprise because once Riley had said that he wasn't going to LSU, there were some whispers that maybe USC would make a run at him. Now, I didn't necessarily think the Trojans would get him, but it didn't totally come out of the blue because of that his comments about LSU the night before. But certainly, I mean, a game changer for the Pac-12, right? I mean, a gigantic development. The best coaching hire for the conference, you know, since Chris Peterson came over from Boise.
Probably the biggest. Don't you think it's probably the biggest coaching hire since Urban Meyer? Not within the conference, but just the national landscape. It's probably since Urban Meyer, right? I mean, if we're talking about national impact of this move. Yeah, Chris Peterson was nice, but it doesn't have the seismic gravitas of what this does to the entire state of college football, I think.
Yeah, good question. I'm just trying to think. You know, Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M for what was it, $100 million at the time or something like that. I mean, you're right. It's rare that the, you know, openings at the blue blood programs generate blue blood coaches. And that's kind of what happened here.
Right. No, it's for the conference. How much, John, and when this all went down, I'm thinking, I was on the golf course and I was hitting a ball and actually searching for my ball, which I do a lot. My phone was just going boop, boop, boop. And I usually keep it in my bag and it's like, open it up and said, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is funny. And I thought of you immediately. It's like Kolovkoff behind the scenes, somewhere, some way along the way, had to be brought in on this is what we're doing over here at SC. And whatever it takes, because now the morbid bound Pac-12 network, there's light at the end of the tunnel off this hire, John.
Well, there's light for the whole conference, right? I mean, in some ways, it's a negotiating point for the conference when they go to ESPN and Fox and CBS in a couple of years and say, you know, what are you going to pay? We now have a five-star coach at our program that's won 7 national championships. So it increases the value of Pac-12 football, and that's good for everybody.
Right. And we don't know what Washington's going to do yet.
Not yet.
Campbell's name up at Washington a little bit. And So if all of a sudden you get some things figured out when your TV contract is expiring, you could all of a sudden, even for Arizona State fans over here and for U of A fans, the move of Lincoln Riley, because he's only going to get 25 players, it's going to help. It's going to help these programs.
Oh, yeah. There's a trickle-down impact, right? And a trickle-out impact. Mm-hmm. If elite prospects, mostly in California, see their peers going to Oklahoma, Clemson, Texas, Alabama, and having success, they're more likely to follow. Right. If they see their peers staying at SC or staying out west and having success, they're more likely to stay. So I think that, it will resonate up and down the recruiting trails of the West Coast, because he's going to start getting players that USC hadn't gotten in years. Mm-hmm. And that will help everybody.
Okay. Is Chip Kelly the biggest loser in all of this?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking about just from a the landscape within the conference, right? I mean, certainly it's a tough spot for UCLA now. Absolutely. But it's also a tough spot. I mean, Arizona State is not benefiting from this directly, right? They get hurt directly because it's going to get harder for them to win and to get players out of Southern California, especially the good players. It makes things harder for Oregon, for sure. They've been mining Southern California for recruits. So it's on a specific team-to-team level, there are some losers. But from the collective standpoint, I think – everybody wins.
Okay. This doesn't impact Utah, or does it? Because Utah's not been going in, and they've been winning the South. They've not been going into Southern California and landing five-star guys. In the Utes, in the same strange sort of ways, Kyle Whittingham somewhat like, okay, great, bring it on.
They are a little bit immune to it. I agree with you because of they have a very unique recruiting plan, and it's based a lot on being able to get guys from Utah, you know, the big linemen from Utah mixed with transfers. And it's worked for them. Of the teams, you know, the top level teams, they're probably impacted the least. Utah's the thing with Utah is Kyle Whittingham might retire. I mean, I keep hearing that if they make it to the Rose Bowl for the first time ever, he may just say, you know what, I'm done.
Okay, getting specific here with John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, about Arizona State. So they have made a living off the transfer, or made a living off the transfer portal in year number one, and they actually had a little bit of success. They have five verbals today. They obviously, from my view, get hit hard by the Lincoln Riley news. But is Arizona State just going to become transfer portal U? Is that from a distance what it appears to you, with letter of intent day just now 2.5 weeks away?
I think for sure in this recruiting cycle, absolutely, with no clarity from the NCAA as to what's going to happen with that investigation, absolutely, ASU is going to have to rely. And I don't know specifically how many vacancies or how many scholarships they're going to have available. And they probably don't know, because I've heard that there's going to be a lot of kids transferring out of ASU. Now, we'll see if that's the case. But, you know, they've got a lot of players from other parts of the country, and those players are more likely to want to go home if something, you know, if things aren't going great. So I could see ASU losing 6, 8, 10 players to the transfer portal. And then I could see them bringing in 10, 12, 14 players from the portal to make up for the fact that their high school recruiting pipeline is affected by the NCAA investigation.
Yeah, and I think Jaden Daniels is one of those players that could be in the portal.
I mean, Chip Traynham too, right? I mean, guys, you know, with players and with coaches, if you bring them in from the Midwest or the Southeast, they're more likely to eventually want to go back home. And that's, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there with the way ASU has started to recruit nationally. It doesn't affect Stanford, because you're going to Stanford for the education, right? But for a school like ASU to recruit nationally, there is a little bit of a risk that guys are going to want to head back home.
Okay, you and I have been talking, even back to our first one, and I was in the guarantee mode that Herm wasn't going to be back. So obviously I'm surprised that he didn't either retire or was forced out. Arizona State since 2015 is 43-35 with zero Pac-12 South titles and a bunch of mediocre bowl games at best. But they decided to keep Herm. I'm curious, from your view, from a distance, the way that it went down, where after the game was over is when Ray Anderson made the announcement. So if it goes the opposite, we're having a different conversation today, aren't we? Isn't that how it played out from your view?
Yeah, it's hard for even for me to even imagine the opposite. You know, them having
lost
to Arizona.
U of A so bad.
But you know, I don't think that they, if they had lost, I don't know that that would have meant Herm wasn't coming back, right? I think that that decision had to have been made ahead of time, and if they had lost somehow, they just wouldn't have announced it at that point. But to me, look, Herm was going to go completely voluntarily. I'm just tired. I'm done. You know, or the NCAA situation was going to leave ASU with no choice. If it was up to Ray Anderson, like, Herm, I want you back. Of course, he's going to say he wants him back. They're friends and business, former business partners. And that's part of the deal you get when you hire a business partner, is the AD is not going to be looking to make a change and admit there was a mistake. So, if Herm wanted to come back and the NCAA wasn't putting the screws to them, then he's coming back.
But I guess, John, this is all pre-Lincoln Riley. So when you make that announcement right after the game in beating your rival for the fifth time, and the rival is one of the worst, if not the worst, program in Division I football, and 24 hours later, Lincoln Riley comes into the Pac-12 South. And there are a lot of fans down here that are just like, oh my gosh, what have we done? And that they're just now stuck because SC is back. The window is closed, as we like to say in the business.
Window is pretty much closed. I mean, it may take... You know, the rebuilding cycle is much quicker now because of the transfer portal. I don't know. I would certainly say the window is going to be shut by, 2023? I would think Lincoln Riley is going to have the Trojans rolling in 2 years, maybe next year. But what's ASU's roster going to look like next year, right? So it is not unreasonable for an ASU fan to say, yeah, the window that has been open, and it's been open for a long time. When you look at the state of both SC and UCLA, it has been open for a long time. Todd Graham got through that window in 2013. Since then, it's been there. Utah filled that window. ASU did not. And now, ASU's got themselves a little bit of a sticky situation. If I was an ASU fan, I would be wondering, what are we doing?
Yeah, because they've got Oklahoma State in preseason next year. They've got Eastern Michigan and Northern Arizona, so two cupcakes. And they don't play Oregon next year. So, yeah, there is a lot of, in the last 24, it's not even been 24 hours, in the last 18 hours, there's just been a lot of, what did we just do? So it's just really interesting. Before I get you out of here, nationally, Alabama, Georgia, what do you make out of it? Who's going to be in the CFP a week from now?
Well, I would say Alabama's going to make, if that's a close game, I think Alabama may end up making it. Certainly Alabama's in, if Alabama wins, the SEC's getting two spots. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time seeing Alabama win. They just are so, they're flawed. They're really, for Alabama, they are flawed, right? If Alabama wins, SEC gets two, and then it's probably, it depends on the Big Ten, right? If Michigan loses the Big Ten championship game, I don't know if the Big Ten's getting in. So Cincinnati, it's Michigan, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State should not be slept on. I think they've got a good chance. If they win the Big 12 title, they're probably getting in. Mm. So the number of teams, the pool of teams that could actually make it, is basically down to about six.
Yeah, it's really, really good stuff there. Thanks, John, as always, for the time. Stay safe.
Thanks a lot, Brett.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, and we're back with more after this timeout.